You know, there are some tremendous insights in the Old Testament. Let's revisit some, including an account of what happened with regards to Lot and his family, with a particular focus for a little while on his wife.
Father, we thank you for your mercy.
Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are joining me for another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are joining Abraham on his journey to the promises.
Now I'm struggling with what has always been.
Helping us with the journey today is Daystar, the Daystar Singers and Band. The title of the song is The Journey. I'm sure that a lot of us have noticed by now that on this journey, it is impossible to be perfect. And we really do have to rely on our Savior, on the Lord Jesus, the Creator, the great Creator. Yes, we're taking a look at this journey because it's sure helping us on our journey. It really is. If we just grab hold of the principles and apply them to our lives as much as we can, learning from that which should not have been, learning from that which should have been and was great. Yeah, this is helping us on our journey. You know, when we spoke last, we were taking a look at where Lot was with his family. And you recall, it was time for, well, Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed because of their sin. It had become so bad that the Lord decided, all right, their sin has reached its full measure. And so now I'm going down to destroy both of those cities and the surrounding areas. So that's the very thing that happened. And in his fear, largely, you know, we're told that Lot even left Zoar, the city that he stopped in very, very briefly, while God was overthrowing Sodom, Gomorrah, and the surrounding area with the fire. And he went and went into the mountains and lived there. And we understand that some decisions were made. And I kind of think that it's so important that we understand how sometimes one bad decision by one person can maybe lead to some bad decisions by other people. Even when we're talking about bad decisions made within the family. That's certainly what happened here with Lot and his daughters. Remember, they were the only three survivors, Lot and his two daughters, because his wife had been led out of the city, but she decided to disobey the command that the angel gave them when he led them out to safety. And he said, do not look back. And for whatever the reason, many people say that it's because her heart was with that city. She did not want to leave. For whatever the reason, though, Lot's wife disobeyed and looked back and became a pillar of salt. She died right there where she stood as she looked back. So Lot was left with just his two daughters. For whatever the reason, he moved to the mountains and settled in the mountains. The Bible says he was afraid to stay in Zoar, probably because he was concerned that there might be another overthrow by God at some point. But he was afraid to stay in Zoar and settled in the mountains. And apparently, he was planning to be there for the rest of his life. He was there with his two daughters, and as we mentioned, Last week, the older daughter proposed to the younger daughter that they continue their father's family line, their father's line, by having sexual intercourse with him. One night, one would have sex with him and become pregnant. And then on a separate night, the other daughter would have sexual intercourse with their father and become pregnant. And so the younger daughter agreed to that. And so the first night, the older daughter, they got the father got Lot drunk, so drunk that the Bible says he didn't know when the daughter lay down or when she got up. The older daughter went to her father, had sexual intercourse with him, became pregnant. The next night, the Bible tells us, she let the younger daughter know it was her turn. And the younger daughter complied, and they got their father drunk, and the younger daughter had sex with her father and became pregnant by him. And we see these relatives of Abraham down the road, largely making trouble for Israel, their own blood. But in the meantime, remember that Lot was not a wicked person. He made an unwise decision when he decided to live in those mountains, to settle in the mountains with his two daughters, removing them from the rest of society. And I think that their decision was a bad one, to continue the father's line by having sex with their father. So now that's where we leave Lot for now. And now we're moving to Genesis chapter 20, where we're going to see more about Abraham's journey. And you all know that I've shared with you before that Abraham was not perfect. He truly was a godly man, though. We're going to find out. You're going to see. I'm going to read it to you, that he certainly had a calling on his life. And there was more to his life than taking this journey to another land. He's going to make a mistake, a bad decision. We're going to see how one of the other human beings involved with Abraham responds, how he gets caught up in Abraham's bad decision. And we're going to see how God responded, how God dealt with this situation. Genesis chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." Ladies and gentlemen, it is so important for us to remember that God really requires, he insists that, as the scripture says, we keep the marriage bed undefiled. Yeah, we should not be bringing impurity, especially sexual impurity, to the marriage bed. The Bible says that God will judge the adulterer. And so in that case, we're hearing what God has to say to and about the married person who is making the decision to defile their own marriage bed by having sexual intercourse with someone other than their spouse. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, let me share that with you. Hebrews chapter 13 is so interesting, that our loving God is also a God of judgment. And it's so important that we understand that. Whether we claim to love God or not, we need to understand and accept that not only is he a God of love, but he is a very, very tough judge. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. We got to keep that bed clean. We've got to keep it pure. And if you've already made it impure, you need to take the steps necessary to purify it again. You really need to do that. But this is interesting. God says to Abimelech in a dream, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. Now, Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? And, you know, even the fact that Abimelech had not gone near Sarah is interesting. Because remember, Sarah was a gorgeous woman. Can you imagine a king having seen this gorgeous woman who is unmarried, he thinks, and he takes her to be his own? And they are in bed together, but he does not touch her. Now, Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? It's interesting that God said to Abimelech, you are as good as dead. And Abimelech responded, will you destroy an innocent nation? Not will you destroy me, will you destroy an innocent nation? Innocent. Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Now, this is the way Abimelech conveyed the situation. Abimelech said he had done this with a clear conscience. He said his conscience was clear, and he said his hands were clean. And when the Bible talks about clean hands, it means that a person has not committed sin against God. They have not transgressed against God. They have kept themselves from being impure, unclean. How did God respond to that? Then God said to him in the dream, verse 6, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience. So God immediately confirms that Abimelech was indeed doing what he did with a clear conscience. And so, God says, I have kept you from sinning against me. How would Abimelech possibly have sinned against God if he had taken this woman to himself to be his, not knowing she was already married? What would the sin have been? God says, I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. So there we go. Abimelech was a man who believed in doing what was right. He brought Sarah to himself with a clear conscience because he truly did not know she was a married woman. However, from God's perspective, whether our sins are intentional, whether our actions that go against his will, go against his will intentionally or unintentionally, when we miss the mark, we have sinned against God. When we do what he does not want us to do, we commit an act of immorality. Even not knowing it's an immoral act, God considers it sin against him. Missing the mark. Sin is essentially the opposite of righteousness. And God said, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, that despite the fact that Sarah was a gorgeous woman, unmarried, he thought, and available for him, he still did not touch her because God did not let him touch her. That's why he didn't touch her. God has power to shut down our sexual drive. Oh, yeah, we need to know that. God has power and authority to shut down the sex drive. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die. Abimelech had it right. He was not the only one who was going to die over Sarah and ultimately over Abraham, Sarah's husband. She is a married woman. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you and you will live. Touch not mine anointed, God says, and do my prophet no harm. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm, neither intentionally nor unintentionally. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. There are people who have really enjoyed disobeying that command from God to make sure you don't put your hands on my anointed one. Make sure you don't do any harm of any kind to my prophet. And they think they're going to get away with that. But you know what? Even if the punishment is not as severe as death, God has so many ways of punishing rebellious people, proud, haughty, arrogant, rebellious people who enjoy doing harm to God's sincere, faithful people, his faithful children, his faithful servants. That wasn't the case with Abimelech. He wasn't trying to do Abraham any harm whatsoever. He did not know Abraham was married to Sarah. But there are people who know that what they're doing is wrong. They know that they're sinning against God. They know they're sinning against God's faithful servant. And God is about to pour out judgment with punishment. Yes, he is. And then the fun out of all of that sin will be wiped away. God said to him, if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die. But notice this, just before he said that, he said, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. In Abimelech's case, God required that the innocent prophet, who wasn't totally innocent, because remember, Abraham gave the impression that Sarah was not married. Now, notice how I worded that, and that this is critical now. Abraham gave the impression that Sarah was not married, and certainly not married to him. He gave the impression that they were unmarried by pointing out that she was his sister. They both said, Sarah is Abraham's sister. And they gave the impression that the two of them were not married. And so Abimelech did not know yet the two were married. But notice this. This is critical. He did that with a clear conscience. And still God required that the prophet pray for him so that he would live, even though he returned Sarah to Abraham untouched. Abraham still had to pray for him so that he would live.